Good morning. How's everyone doing? Join the official start to summer. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 8. This is week 7, actually, of our Revelation series already. Got a whole bunch of other weeks left to come. So that's going to be our summer jam we're going to be doing over the summer. So why don't we just jump into it? We got lots of different places to go this morning, and thrilled that you're here, so excited to be here, and we'll kind of see where this takes us. So, Revelation 8, starting right in verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw, now this is John describing his vision of what it is that he's seen. So he says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Now another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. Now the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, it went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, how does this scene start? It starts with silence. We're told that there is about a half hour of silence. This is a pause. This is a break in the action. John has just been describing a whole bunch of different things that he has seen. Last week, we were talking about the four horsemen. So John has just finished describing these four horsemen. He's been going through everything that he's seen in his vision. And now, all of a sudden, he takes a break. He says, there's going to be silence. We're going to pause. We're going to reset. It's almost as if the curtain has come down, and we've come to an intermission. It's time to take a bathroom break. It's time to go check the score of the game, to go buy something at the snack counter, maybe return the phone call or all those buzzes and text messages that were going off in your phone. This is a chance to reflect on what has come before, on everything that we've seen, and now to prepare ourselves for what is to come. There's a pause in the action. Now, what comes immediately after the pause? What sort of flows from this intermission? Well, we're given a picture of an angel who has incense, and the angel is offering incense up to God, and this incense is mixing in with the prayers of all of God's people. So the picture that we're given here following this time of silence is that these prayers, the prayers that people are praying, well, they are rising up to where God is. Now, this would have been a very common first century understanding of how prayer works. It was believed the gods lived somewhere up in the heavens. And so whenever you offered prayers, well, of course, they would just slowly rise upwards to wherever the gods resided. Yes, I get it. This would have, to us, it seems a little odd, a little weird. We know God doesn't sit and live on the moon. But yet, to the first century people, this is exactly what they believed. So this makes perfect sense. And what we're told here is that mixed in with all these prayers as they're rising up, well, the angel throws a little bit of incense in. Now, incense in the first century, it was used as a way to bathe these prayers in some beautiful, sweet-smelling aroma. It was basically like spraying a little bit of perfume on the prayers. It was like slipping a five in, hoping that maybe God would kind of put your prayer up to the top and push all the other ones down. Ooh, look at this. I got a Ben Franklin. This was a very common way of understanding prayer. You would pray, you would mix it with incense as a way to get the gods, the one who you want to do something about your situation, to smell your prayer before you smelt all the other prayers. So what we see here, this passage starts, there's this movement from silence to prayer. There's this movement from stillness, from rest, reflection, pausing to offering prayers. Now, why does this matter? What's the point? Why is this even significant? Because this tells us that prayer is to be an act rooted in silence. Now, silence for me, it's something that I have been fascinated with for a very, very, very long time. And I think one of the big reasons why is because I do silence so poorly. Which is normally how it works for me. I don't know about you, but I learn the most from things that I get wrong. And I'll go a season, I'll go a little bit of time where I incorporate times of reflection, times of silence in my life. And it's great. I love it. It's amazing. It's freeing. It's life-giving. But then a couple of weeks go by, a couple of days go by, and then I allow everything else in my life to crowd out the silence. And what happens, what I begin to notice is that my life then starts to feel a little bit cluttered. Because I have all these thoughts, these anxieties, these fears, these longings, these desires, these hopes, these dreams that I've sort of buried deep down within me, and they have no way to be released. It feels almost as if my soul is bloated, where I have all these thoughts and everything, and I've pushed them down, I've stuffed them within me, but there's no way for them to be released. It's as if, you ever blown up a balloon? And when you're blowing that balloon up, there comes a point where it's reached the max capacity of how much air it can take. And then if you keep blowing air into the balloon, what's going to happen to the balloon? It's going to pop. And this is typically what happens to me. I go this period of time without giving voice to that which is within me, and then it's almost as if I feel that I'm going to explode. I feel like I'm going to burst because there's so much deep within my soul. There's so much that I've stuffed down. And it's just sort of sitting there, and there's no way for it to be released. And so prayer acts as a release valve. Prayer is the way to give voice to all that is swirling within you. Prayer is a way to drag up and bring to the surface all that has been sitting beneath, all that has been lying there for however long it might be. And what I've come to realize, what I've discovered, what I've learned, is that the only way for me to fully drain the tank of everything that's down in there, the only way for me to fully discover all that I'm carrying around with me, is for me to sit in silence. And not just some random silence here and there, the silence you get when you have no Wi-Fi, but we're talking about regular, intentional silence. Because silence is the only way that you can be fully present to yourself. Silence is the only way that you can fully listen to your inner soul, the place within you where you keep all your fears and anxieties and hopes and dreams. Now, as a culture, we don't really do this silence thing too well. There was a study that was done a couple of years ago by the University of Virginia, and the psychologists, they took a whole bunch of different participants, and they put them in a room, and they said, you're going to sit in a room by yourself for 15 minutes. No cell phone, no TV, no one else in the room with you. You're just going to sit alone on a chair. But they told them that on the other side of the room, there's this button, and if you hit the button, you're going to get an electric shock. So they put these people into the room. They said, hey, just so you know, there's a button there, electric shock. I want you to sit here for 15 minutes in silence and then kind of let us know exactly what happened, some of your thoughts from this experience. When they compiled their results, you see where this is going? When they compiled their results, what they discovered is that 67% of the men who took the study hit the red button knowing full well they were going to be shocked. One dude hit it 115 times in 15 minutes. 25% of the women, so you're not off the hook, 25% of the women ended up hitting the button as well, knowing full well that when they hit that button, they were going to receive an electric shock. Okay, so which is the quarter of women that are going to hit that button? Yeah, what does this tell us? We don't like silence. We don't like to sit still. We like action. We like movement. We like going. We like noise. We like the TV on. We like our earphones in with the music cranked up as high as it can go. Okay, maybe Gina doesn't like it that high, but some of us do. You ever, like, you go on a subway or you're walking down the street and you can hear the other person's music? You're like, oh, it's Green Day. Yeah, we don't like silence. We don't like stillness. We like to keep going. Because here's the thing. I think one of the biggest reasons why we don't like silence is because we like to be in control. Because when we're going, when we're moving, when we're driving, we're the one who's in control of where this thing is going. We're in control of what it is that we're doing. Or think about this. If we're in the middle of a conversation and we're the one doing all the talking, we can control where the conversation goes. So we can control what's talked about and what's not talked about. Or if we're watching TV, we're listening to something, we're sitting in a car with someone else, well, we can always change the channel if we don't like the message. We can put it on mute. Or we can crank the radio up to drown out the other person so we don't have to hear what it is that they're saying. Or we can just walk around with earmuffs the whole time. We don't like silence. And I think one of the reasons why we are so uncomfortable with silence is because there's this fear that we carry around with us of what we might hear if we were to slow down and be still enough and silent enough. What is it that we've buried, that we've let die somewhere out of sight so we don't have to think about it? So we don't have to hear it? I think one of the biggest reasons why we're uncomfortable with the silence is because when we actually hear what's within us, it can be messy and painful, because sometimes facing the truth about who we are, about what we believe about ourselves, or about the pain that we've tried to hide away from others, can be a messy and painful experience. And so we keep going. We keep doing. We keep moving. We keep the radio on. We come home and immediately the TV gets flipped on. We're in the car, earphones, radio. Because what might arise if we were to be still and listen to all that's swirling around within us? And so prayer, it's a way for us to be still and to listen to our souls. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray until I've been silent, until I've been still, because I don't know what's going on inside of me until I've had a chance to reflect and listen to myself. So we listen to every other voice but the voice of ourselves. And so when we come to prayer, what prayer is, well, it's admitting that sometimes we're powerless. Sometimes we feel out of control. Sometimes things aren't going well. I keep a journal, and this is one of the ways in which I have tried to practice this discipline of silence and prayer. And when I look over my journal, you want to know what the majority of prayers that I'm consistently asking are? You know what's written down? Most of the time, it's me admitting that I have fears that constantly overtake me. My journal is filled with lines of me confessing the times that I've hurt other people through my actions. It's me admitting that I don't always feel whole. It's me admitting that I feel fractured and that I long for a wholeness. I long to be put back together. You know what's within my journal? It's me admitting that oftentimes I feel lonely. I feel abandoned. I feel like it's just me all on my own. It's me confessing that I take part in systems and structures that hold other people down, and that my privilege has been gained at the expense of others. It's me acknowledging that there are some injustices in the world that I see, that I read, that I hear about, injustices that break my heart, that make me angry, and I long for someone somewhere to do something about the injustices that I see in the world. It's me acknowledging that I've allowed others to snuff out my greatness, the truth about myself, because I've allowed others to put me down and to not affirm my worth, my value. And so it's me confessing that I've allowed myself to be squashed, that I've allowed myself to be pushed down because of what others have said or what others have thought about me. This is what fills the pages of my journal day after day after day. It's me being raw and honest with everything that I'm carrying around with me. Yeah, this is what prayer is. It's sitting in silence, it's reflecting, and then it's bringing up all those anxieties, those burdens, those weights, those dreams, those hopes, those longings, those desires that so often stay deep down within us. It's bringing those up, it's giving them voice, it's acknowledging that they are there within me. And you know what happens when I voice them, when I give them space, when I acknowledge that they're there? It's actually allowing God permission to have access to all areas of my life. It's actually allowing the Spirit room to begin to do a work of healing and renewal and restoration in my life. Because the truth is, you can't heal that which you can't acknowledge. And the only way to move beyond grief is to be honest about it. And the only way to hope and to joy is to admit that you've lost it somewhere along the way. And you don't know where, you don't know why, but you feel it. You just know that somewhere along the way, you've lost it. The only way to move beyond the insecurities and the doubts and the questions is to be real and honest with yourself and with God that they are there. The only way to move beyond fear is to expose it. See, we carry around within us all these things that are, they're often hidden, they're unconscious, and the truth is that when they go unacknowledged, it's almost as if they exert this giant force upon us, and we don't even know where that force is coming from. But as soon as we give voice to that, it's as if their power is gone. It is as if someone just pulls the plug. As soon as you acknowledge, you admit the fear or the hurt or the pain, it's almost as if the plug gets pulled, and slowly, ever so slowly, the healing starts. See, when we talk about the book of Revelation, Revelation was apocalyptic literature. This is what apocalyptic literature is doing. Part of the reason why we don't understand the book of Revelation so well is because we're the ones who are on top. But Revelation was written by a group of people who were oppressed and persecuted. And so Revelation is written by a group of people who long for something to change in their lives. They long for those on top, those who are oppressing them, who are pushing them down, who are persecuting them, to be overthrown. And so we should expect all this over-the-top metaphorical language in Revelation, because that's how it feels when you're going through it. And so what's happening is we have John writing to this community, and we have John acknowledging this is how we're feeling as a group. This is what's going on. This is our situation. And we long for a new day. We long for a new hope. It's John and this community of Christians longing for God to come and do something about their situation. And so when we pray, it's us exposing, it's us bringing to the surface all that we have within, with the hope that it will be healed, with the hope that we don't have to be held down by fear or anxiety any longer. So what I want to do here this week is I want us as a community to practice the art of silence. As a community, I would love to see all of us spend 5 minutes a day sitting in silence this week. And the other thing, how great would it be if we could do this together at noon every single day? So I don't know what it looks like for you. I understand you probably have meetings and all this different work that you have to get done. But can you get away into your office for 5 minutes? Can you go into the parking lot and go for a walk for 5 minutes? Maybe you got to sit in the bathroom stall for 5 minutes. Can you get into your car for 5 minutes? Whatever it is, can you go somewhere where it can be you alone for 5 minutes, sitting in silence? And how great knowing that when you are sitting in silence for 5 minutes at noon this week, that there's other people here in the room right now who will be doing the same exact thing. Now, I get it. Maybe you can't do every day. Maybe you can do 2 days. Maybe you can do 3 days. Maybe you can do 1 day, whatever it is. But can you set aside 5 minutes this week for silence? And the prayer that I want you to ask as you enter these 5 minutes of silence, it's a very simple prayer. Show me. Show me. What am I missing? What have I been carrying around with me? What is it that I need to see that I haven't seen? What have I buried deep down within me? Show me. Show me. And let me tell you something. Every single day, without fail, when I'm writing in my journal, at the end of that time, it is such a freeing and healing experience for me. Because there's all this that I've been carrying around by myself. And it's almost as if when I put words to what I'm feeling, when I put words to what's within me, when I give it space, there's this freedom that comes where it's, I don't have to carry this alone anymore. I don't have to be in this thing. There's just something that happens that when you give voice to what's swirling around within you, it's the most freeing, life-giving experience. So this week, 5 minutes of silence. And maybe what you want to do, maybe after this week, maybe a certain day comes up and you realize you've been carrying around with me, you've never told anyone. Maybe you want to grab someone else and you want to just let them know, hey, you know what? This is what I realized was in there. I've been getting together with one of my great friends. We try to get together about once a week just to talk, to reflect on what's going on in our lives, to spend time praying for each other. And I've missed it the past couple of weeks because got a newborn, and that kind of messes your schedule up a little bit. And let me tell you, I miss it. And I long for that hour that we have for us to reflect on our lives together and to pray for each other, to encourage each other, just to know that you're not alone in this thing. And you don't have to carry all these weights and burdens. Let me pray here for us. God, I thank you that you are a God who listens. God, the picture that we're given in Revelation is a picture of all the prayers, everyone's prayer rising up to you. God, it's a picture telling us that you hear us. God, that you hear our cries, God, you hear our longings, our desires, and that you are a God who longs to bring healing and wholeness to our lives. So God, I pray that if any of us, God, if we've been carrying around within us burdens and weights that have been unacknowledged, then God, I pray that this week, God, as we sit in silence, may those rise to the surface. God, may we be a people who give voice to all that's swirling around within us. And as we do that, God, may we find a lifting. God, may we find a healing. God, a freedom that only you can bring. So God, I pray that as we are unfiltered, raw, and honest, God, that you'll meet us in those places. And whatever words we need to have spoken over us, God, I pray that we would hear those words this week. God, and that we would be a people who wouldn't constantly be on the go. God, that we wouldn't be people who are hitting that red button for an electric shock because we don't want to be alone. But God, rather that we would be a people who would create spaces of silence and reflection and allow you to have access to all the areas of our lives. So we ask all this, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.